And now, back to Jim and Randall for more Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com.
Hey, the doctor is playing up a great bumper today, isn't he?
Super.
Okay, Dr. Staccato. Dr. Staccato, unbelievable.
He is one wonderful musician.
You know, he has his cousin, Zippo Fagalotto, is playing drums today.
Oh, that's
Zippo's in from Detroit.
Wonderful.
Oh, he's a great guy. He's a little short. They had to put like a phone book on the seat, but he's doing great. Zippo and Dr. Staccato and Dr. Fagalotto. He's also a PhD.
Right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Everybody in the Staccato family and the Fagalotto family are all PhDs.
Poor, humble dopes.
That's what
they are.
But they're great musicians.
Terrific.
All right. And we're really the only legal radio show Fagalotto, in the world.
When you said, can you play by ear? He said, certainly. And he started banging the piano with his ear. I got a little nervous.
Well, he takes everything literally.
He does.
Anyway, you're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And we certainly appreciate you listening to our program every Monday at 4 o'clock Eastern time.
3 o'clock Central Time, 2 o'clock Mountain Time, 1 o'clock Pacific Time.
Right. And if you're in Fiji,
o'clock.
That's right. Check your cell phone. It'll tell you what time it is.
Check your sundial.
That's right. Or your sundial. Exactly right. You used to have a very creative way of, when you had a little bit too much to drink, of finding your way home. Jim used to call 411 information and ask them to trace the call and tell him where he was. It always worked. All right. Are you ready for your next case?
Here we go.
Oh, we have a judge who tries to play lawyer. He starts asking a lot of questions, and what does he get? A retrial or a new trial?
Well, this has happened. You know, if you ask lawyers like Mike Grout, for years we try cases, and you get a judge every once in a while who probably himself never tried a case, sitting on a bench, and he sticks his big nose into your business.
Okay.
Well, and they ask questions they shouldn't be asking.
That's right.
You know, that, because a guy sitting there is a judge, then everybody thinks he's a great guy and that he knows everything. The fact of the matter is many of them don't know what they're doing, and they're sort of on-the-job training, and they're learning. But if you want to have a good trial, and good judges do this, they have good lawyers in front of them, you'll have a wonderful trial. In this particular case, in a rare rebuke to the chief judge in Baltimore.
Chief judge?
The Maryland Appellate Court found that he asked too many questions.
How many did he ask?
During a jury trial of an armed robbery case last year, requiring reversal because they felt that this was a deprivation of the constitutional right to a fair trial by the defendant. He asked 125 questions.
Wow, that must have been a long trial.
He violated the Constitution. Well, as I said that, the defendant, Antoine Darrell Smith, to a fair trial. The circuit court, the Baltimore City judge, John Previs, posed all these questions, and the questioning, according to the appellate court, created an appearance of partiality, noting that the questions were acutely suggestive, coercive, and manipulative, according to the daily recognition.
Wow.
Judge, be a judge, will you? Let the lawyers be the lawyers and stick your nose out of their business and don't try the case for them.
Now, let me ask you a quick question.
Your job is to decide, not to argue and not to proffer evidence. Your job is to decide whether to instruct the jury and to handle the trial. That's your job.
And that's what they told them.
I think so. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Oh.
But if I was there, I'd have told them.
You would have told them that. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
On this new trial,
yeah,
is he the same judge, or they go to a new judge?
No, they'll probably get a new judge. You can go either way, but if he gets in the back, he'll keep his mouth shut.
Okay.
He should have been in the first place.
Okay.
I don't know. Every state is different in how they send cases back. Right?
Well, let me talk about another judge. This must be Judge Week, because we have an irate judge.
Oh, yeah.
He got very upset because there were typographical errors in some of the briefs. Okay, including the ones the lawyers were wearing.
That's right.
And as a result of that, he gave the lawyer a hard time, and he cut his fee.
Well, strangely enough, this was an application for a fee. You know, there are certain cases.
Oh, I see. It was an application for a
certain
fee.
Certain cases,
mm-hmm,
where a lawyer applies to the court to set the fee. And
all right.
Some of them are employment cases, civil rights cases, anyway. This happened in Philadelphia, and it's in a federal court. And this fellow, in his application or petition for the fee, had all kinds of errors misspellings. He had it all cockeyed. So the judge, William Ditter, a senior U.S. District Court judge, said, here, buddy, I'm cutting your fee. And I'm cutting it. I'm cutting it by
$154,000. $154,000? That's a lot.
So the fee must have been a pretty substantial fee, because $154,000 to me is a substantial amount of money.
Absolutely.
Now, to these big Wall Street firms, it's chuck change.
Right.
He, in addition to his sloppiness typographically, mm-hmm. which maybe could be forgivable, because what he contended, that is the judge, the lawyer, excuse me, mm-hmm. the lawyer whose name is Puricelli. Brian Puricelli.
I see.
He's half Irish and half Italian.
That's right.
The Brian is
from the Irish side.
And
that's
his father's side was Puricelli.
Okay.
And Puricelli is delicious with a more or less of a butter and wine sauce. You don't use the red sauce on the Puricelli.
No?
No. You serve your Puricelli with a very light
sauce.
Very light.
Now, I think what happened in
this
case is...
It's a good accompaniment to veal.
Oh, all right. Now, let me write that... Hold on. Let me write it down. But I want to tell you something. He must have spilled some of that sauce on the paper because the judge couldn't read the words.
Well, he said what happened was that it came up on the computer and it was a draft. And it was the draft that got sent to
in error. Oh, instead of the final revised.
But let me tell you what the problem is.
Please tell me.
Because I don't believe the guy, but on the other hand, mm-hmm. the federal courts require filing by e-filing, electronic filing.
Okay.
Well, these things happen in electronic filing. So you can't get so, I mean, they invited it. I don't think you should have electronic filing. I don't see what's wrong with going over and have the papers filed in court. Well, all the judges want electronic filing. Fine. Electronics create a lot of mistakes. Something can jump up on a computer, you know.
Right.
And even good computer people know. But if you take a poor lawyer, jerk like me, who doesn't know how to use a computer, has enough trouble practicing law, right. and you press the wrong button and this thing comes up, and it hasn't even been corrected yet.
But do you know the way out of this?
And some of these things are dictated in his voice things. I'm finished. And the thing doesn't pick up the right, and it'll spell it wrong.
Uh-huh. So they have some voice activated.
I feel a little sorry for Mr. Puricelli.
Brian. Mr. Puricelli.
On the other hand, I feel sorrier for him because of his fee. It was a fee. It was a petition, a civil rights case. His fee was cut. He asked for more than $180,000.
Uh-huh.
The judge said, I'm cutting it down to $105,000. But to account for claim, because you're a slob. And then to account for claims dismissed before a trial, I'm going to cut that amount by 75%. So your fee is $26,000.
Holy
on a request of $180,000.
Wow.
So he says, from now on, get a pencil with an eraser and sit down and don't be such a slob.
Unbelievable.
And don't give me this business. It was accidentally uploaded, because if it was and you caught it, you should immediately wire me and say it was accidentally uploaded. Please disregard the other papers. Forgive me, Your Honor. I will grovel before you as it is so, as you desire.
And he actually did that. Here's what he said.
Apologize. Yeah. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact.
That
was Mr. Puricelli talking like that?
I tell you, it's funny. He's Irish and Italian, but he sounds like an Englishman.
Well, you know what? That's your idea. You know what he really said to the judge?
What?
Forget about it. Forget about it. Right.
And that's what the judge said about his fee.
That's
and
right.
Now it's time for Arrogance of the Rich and Famous. Theme song. Dr. Staccato's got that. It's kind of got that James Bond feel to it, doesn't it?
No.
All right. Let's see. Let's see who we're going to talk about. Oh, Senator Stevens is at the top of the arrogance and the rich and famous list. His trial is about to reach a climax.
Well, yeah.
So's this show.
He may have reached the trial may have reached the climax. As we all know, Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska is now in trouble with the federal government for having allowed a company to provide him, that's a nice way of saying bribe him,
right,
with $250,000 worth of improvements,
right, we talked about
to
that,
this summer home or,
right,
or vacation home or winter home. In Alaska, you don't have a summer home because,
right,
you don't have any summer. So it's an extra winter home.
Right.
And they provide a lot of stuff. We talked about that the last time. Right now, there was a whole bunch of stuff went on in the trial, the defense, his lawyers, accused the prosecution of failing to produce certain documents, and they admitted they did not. And the judge got very incensed at that, and he told him he might dismiss the case. This was last week.
Right.
And that he will consider it, right, and could declare a mistrial or dismiss the case. But the next day he decided, no, the trial will go on. He instructed the jury a certain way, gave them all these instructions regarding this deficiency in the evidence, this violation of what we call the Brady Rule, that the prosecution is mandated to produce exculpatory as well as inculpatory evidence. That is, evidence that will be in the defense's favor.
I see that.
Since then,
the
defense has started its case, and now the prosecution is looking for more things. They want emails between Senator Stevens and his wife, who's apparently a lawyer, and a bunch of stuff. They want, I think, 26,000. They've already gotten and have received more than 26,000 pages of documents from her, Catherine Stevens' law firm.
26,000 pages.
That's not a lot. There's some cases where, but in this one it is a lot. And they got it from a law firm. The law firm's a little concerned that, you know, you keep revealing stuff, you give away confidentiality material,
right,
about clients, about other stuff. So, Eddie, right, that's where they're in the thick of things now determine.
Well, we'll stay with this case.
The defense claims, you know, they don't want to reveal the wrong kind of thing.
Right.
And the prosecutor said they need this material to reveal that this guy was really getting these bribes, and he knew about it, and he talked about it, and emails discussed it. So that's where we are.
Well,
in any event, a senator should not let himself get in this position in the first place.
That's exactly right. He should never let himself get in this position in the first place.
That's right. He should never let him get himself in this position. What are you I just hear myself talk. What's going on?
Are you ready for number two?
I am.
All right. This week in the Arrogance of the Rich and Famous, she's back, folks. And we really love to have her on the show.
She's wonderful.
Britney Spears
is in
trouble again.
Right.
What did she do this time?
She got it, I guess, for driving while, I don't know whether it's one of these things, driving under the influence, driving under the influence of alcohol, driving
or stupidity.
Under drugs, traffic violations, driving under the influence of her brain,
right,
which she'd be better off not thinking about.
Exactly.
But in any event, she's decided not to plead to the charges. Because her lawyer says they shouldn't be crimes. It should only be what we call a violation or an infraction.
I see.
So they're not going to plead. They'll have to try the case. He says they should only have to pay a $10 fine.
$10?
Where's the $10 fine?
In Hollywood?
In any place. Where do you get a $10 fine?
You can't get a Coke at McDonald's for $10.
I know. Any event, she has. See, it's a $150 fine, and she's in her. It's a misdemeanor driver's license case.
Oh, a misdemeanor. And, is that like a small car?
It's a misdemeanor. Well, yeah, misdemeanor. I don't know what it's made by, Honda, Toyota, what it is. It's a small misdemeanor.
It's a $10
fine. She has a misdemeanor.
Small car.
She has a misdemeanor XL.
That's what it
and,
is.
Right.
XL.
And so she's, the lawyer claims she's unfairly targeted because of her celebrity. But let me say, her celebrity has not been garnered as a singer. She has become a celebrity for her nuttiness.
I know it.
In her drinking, and her drugs, and her driving, and her everything.
If she keeps it up, she could be a comedian. Like us.
That's right.
Look what drinking and driving has done for us. Anyway, we got one more. And this guy's I love this actor. I really love this guy. However, a 33-year-old woman has pled guilty to stalking John Cusack.
Yeah, well, this time it's not the rich and famous.
It's a poor person.
It's a poor person who is stalking him, and she got in trouble. And there's a 33-year-old Emily Leatherman.
She's
in a wallet business. But Emily Leatherman, she makes belts. And Cusack said, you keep this up, and I'll give you a belt. Right. But, and then eventually she was led from the courtroom. She didn't want to plead.
Oh, she didn't want to plead.
So as she was going, they were dragging her from the courtroom. She said, I want to take it. But we didn't know what she wanted to take.
But yeah.
She meant the plea.
Oh, the plea.
We thought she wanted to take the chair.
Or
she was handcuffed.
She wanted to take the chair John was sitting in.
That's right. So she's avoided. At least, you know, she could have gotten up to 5 years in jail.
Oh, that's not good.
Or no, excuse me, she could not have gotten that. She would have gotten a little bit of jail time, but she really has to serve 5 years. That's right, 5 years of probation.
Right.
And she has to stay away from Cusack for a decade.
For 10 years, but she can watch his movies.
After that, maybe she can go bother him again. In the meantime,
she'll be 43.
She'll be 43, and she will be a little more wrinkled and all like that.
Won't be as attractive.
And she may not be as attractive, but
I don't know.
Miss, to you, Emily Leatherman, I say to you, lay off.
What you were going to say?
Find a happy life.
Keep it in your purse or something
that's
like
right.
that, you know?
Yeah, well,
anyway, well, that's too bad.
Just don't horse with the leather anymore.
Yeah, I remember when, we had those stalkers and we found out they were cows.
That's right.
It was so disappointing.
Right.
Unbelievable. Well, I don't know. I think we're going
to
take
a what the cow said to me?
What?
It's mutual. Who do you think you are?
You have lost your mind. Absolutely. Anyway, we'll see if we can find it, ladies and gentlemen, before we come back to answer some questions. You're listening to Lawyers Who Need Them right here live on Talk Zone Radio.